I'd like now to welcome back to the program Angela Gabriel. She's the Education and Outreach Director for the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival. She's a percussionist. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, thanks.
It's lovely to have you back, and we're always talking about music in one way or another, and the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival is an amazing institution, and they have, among other things, youth concerts, which you were working on not only doing but telling people about.
Yes.
What's going on?
Well, we have a series of five concerts. Two of them have already happened, and the third one is going to be on Friday, August 3rd at 10 a.m. This will be the percussion concert, which I'll actually be playing as well as introducing. And then we have August 9th at 2 is the string sextet, two violas, two violins, two cellos. And then Saturday, August 18th at 10 a.m., now this one's in the Lenzic. The others are St. Francis Auditorium at the Museum of Art. But this one's in the Lenzic, really fun Tiempo Libre, which is a three-time Grammy-nominated Cuban timba group.
Yes, indeed, I will be there.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. And they also, they're very active in their education and outreach, and so they're really great with kids, and they're going to have quite a show for the kids. And these are all free, too, by the way.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, and so not only are they free, but we give away things to the kids when they come to the shows. So we have little passports that they take, and we stamp the passport every time they come, and then after they get three stamps, they get free Häagen-Dazs ice cream on the plaza. And then after four stamps, they get a whole bag full of swag. Like, we used to give T-shirts, but this year we're doing those backpacks, those real cool backpacks. And they have little rubber bracelet and some erasers and some, I won't even give it all away, but
lots
some fun
of good stuff.
Yes.
So it encourages them to go to multiple concerts. Well, let's talk about the percussion concert in which you're playing. What kind of groups, what kind of music are we talking about?
Well, we have five players, and we've all been playing together. Some of us have been playing together for about 25 years. And they're all the opera percussionists. It's kind of an interesting concept for us every year, because usually these youth concerts are groups that are also performing a regular concert, and then they just take excerpts from the concert that they're going to do and kind of tailor that to children to make it fun and interactive for them. It's kind of rare that they have a percussion concert. It's been a few years since we've done an actual, like, I hate to say real, but adult concert for the Chamber Music Festival. And so usually when we get together to do this, we have to kind of tailor it to the fact that we're not going to have a lot of instruments, and you know, our resources are different because we're not already doing a concert for the adults. And so it's really fun for us to try to come up with ways to show the kids a lot of different percussion styles, cultures, techniques, and different kinds of pieces, but not have a lot of big equipment on the stage.
So you've got five percussionists, and are you going to be, I mean, what kind of music are you going to be playing? Are you going to be playing pieces for five percussion instruments?
Yeah, we're playing chamber music. Some of it, there's one piece that's a trio that actually we performed it as part of the New Music Festival that happened about a month ago.
Right.
And that was the premiere of the piece, and so we'll do that one again.
What are the instruments?
Marimba, vibraphone, drum set, and here I just said we're not using big instruments, and they're big instruments, but
yeah.
But we'll actually have the marimba already there because one of the players will be using it on a different piece with other people, and so it was kind of cool that we can use the marimba this time. Usually we don't have big stuff like that on stage when we do these kids' shows, but that piece is it's pretty cool. We all have our big instrument plus lots of little things. Break drums and glass, and then we'll do a piece that's just five clave players by Steve Reich called Music for Pieces of Wood.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and that's really fun. That's always kind of a hit, that piece. And then we usually try to do some kind of story. This year our story is going to be the actual piece of music itself is the story. It's a piece by John Cage. And as percussionist, John Cage is a real important part of our of everything in percussion, our philosophy, our music.
How so?
Well, he really changed the idea of what is music, you know, and what are legitimate instruments that you can use to play. The piece we're doing is called Living Room Music. And so you can use anything from a sofa and the floor and a phone book, you know, anything that you'd find in your house.
Oh, so it's, we're not talking about the rhythms being dramatically transformed, but the instruments themselves.
Yes and yes. Yeah, he transformed the rhythms as well. I mean, he does a lot of really interesting rhythmic things that before Cage came along, you didn't necessarily hear a lot of people doing, where you have, you know, say 13 notes in the place of two, and while you're doing that, someone else is playing seven notes in the place of two, and then someone else is doing three, and then they all come down together on the next downbeat. So think interesting things like that. Yeah, he does. But it's really more about his philosophy really changed. I mean, you're probably familiar with his piece 433, which is just 4 minutes and 33 seconds of silence.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most famous John Cage piece.
Which actually is written for a pianist.
Yeah, but, right. Who doesn't play the piano.
Right, who just sits
just
there.
Just sits there.
But he does have a really cool piece that we're not doing this time, but we've done movements from this in the past. He has a piece called Amores, which is has a couple movements for prepared piano. And I played that back when we were in college with some of these people that will be playing on this concert too. And so he even transformed that, you know, just the idea of what is an instrument supposed to sound like and what is a, quote, good sound, you know, and changed my whole philosophy from it's not about a good or a bad sound, it's about your choice. What's your musical choice? And so as percussionists, that's what we do. We're making choices constantly about, we'll walk through Home Depot and say, which bucket do we want to play? Which one sounds better to us for this piece? You
right.
know, or which clay pot? Or, you know.
I knew somebody once who was working in a travel agency in Cusco, Peru, and a group of Brazilians came in, and one of them dropped a coin by mistake, and he liked the sound of it, so he dropped it again. Mm-hmm. And somebody turned over a wastebasket and started playing percussion along with the sound of the dropping coin. And then somebody else started singing, and somebody else started dancing, and all the Peruvians joined in, and they had a big party and closed the travel agency and sang and danced for the rest of the afternoon.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I thought, that's something that's never going to happen anywhere in the United States of America.
Well, you know, maybe not, but I disagree. I think that kind of thing happens all the time, especially with percussionists. And that's part of, this kind of gets to the other thing we were going to talk about, the Music in the Brain Symposium. Part of what I was going to be doing in the offering that I'm part of, we're talking about the idea of some people who can hear a beat and some people who can't, and how you have percussionists who, you might sit there at a traffic light and you're looking at all the different blinkers going at different rates, and it makes music to people who are picking up on those kinds of things. And also John Cage, he changed all those things. You know, just the fact that you can sit outside and listen to the sounds as they happen, and that actually is the music, as compared to maybe taking a sound that a coin dropping on the floor and saying, that's music. Let's use that in this piece.
We're talking to Angela Gabriel about the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival and the various events that are going on there. Now, the Music in the Brain, which we're hoping to talk to some people about later on this week, what's that all about? It's a symposium, I think a very interesting and important symposium that's happening this weekend in which you are taking part.
Yes. Yeah, I am really excited about this. It's August 4th through 6th, and they have some really amazing scientists and musicians coming in. The person that I'm working with, his name's Ani Patel. He works at the Neurosciences Institute in San Diego. And he's doing actually several things in this symposium. But the thing that he and I are doing together is Sunday, August 5th from 3:30 to 4:30. And it's specifically about music and the mind, the brain and rhythm. And how are we unique as a species that we can feel the beat, or do we share that with other animals, you know, and also how does it work? Is it a specific function of the brain, or...
And what's the verdict?
The verdict is that we are not unique in feeling a beat, but it's not what you would think. It's not actually because our brain has evolved in a certain way. You would think if we could feel a beat, then maybe primates could too. But in study after study, they don't show that they can feel a pulse. The closest that they could get with primates was they could get them to react to a beat right immediately after the beat happened. They might move.
They could imitate it.
Yeah, but if you're actually anticipating a beat, if you're feeling a pulse and you know that there's another one coming, you're more likely to be early than you are to be late. And so what they found is that music and the beat is more related to language. And so animals that have the capability to make sounds and repeat those sounds and use those sounds as a way to communicate are more likely to have rhythm than animals that don't. So a bird, a cockatoo, in fact, Ani has done many studies with a cockatoo named Snowball, can feel the pulse, and he bobs his head to the pulse no matter what the pulse of the music is. It could be a really fast pulse, or you could take the same song and slow it down digitally, and he'll bob his head in relationship to that pulse.
Now, is there any relationship between, for example, horses have different gaits? And we were just talking the other day on the radio to some people who play cowboy music and how cowboy music is written, a lot of it to either a kind of ambling walk or a trot or a gallop, and those are the rhythms of a lot of these songs. Mm-hmm. And it makes me wonder when you're talking whether horses who have those rhythms so deeply built into them can also somehow feel them in the way that you're talking about.
That's a good question. I think that a lot about people too, because I, you know, as a teacher, I've had a lot of people say, oh, I have no beat, I have no rhythm, I can't play music at all. Yet they walk, you know. If you're walking, you have a certain rhythm that's happening. If you're skipping, it's a different rhythm. If you're jumping rope, it's a different rhythm. So we perform these things every day that require a certain rhythm. Even brushing your teeth requires a certain rhythm. But I think that people are more likely to say that they don't have rhythm based on other things, not the physical coordination. I think, you know, we all, even if you're walking with a limp, you're still making a rhythm. You're still creating a pattern, and there's a beat to it.
It's also interesting because there are people who are amazing percussionists, but then when they try to learn to dance, they're kind of starting all over again, and to get the rhythm in their feet as well as in their hands, it's almost like a new part of the brain.
You know, that's interesting that you're saying that, because that's a big part of what Ani and I think what we'll focus on. We're getting together on Friday just to confirm all this stuff. We've been communicating over email, and so I'm real excited because I don't even really know what all is going to happen. But part of it, I'm going to have a drum set. And I've been a percussionist for many, many years, but I've always been a classical percussionist. And so I always considered myself a percussionist and not a drummer. And I was kind of afraid of the drum set. You know, I'd sit down and I'd be like, what's the music say to do? I don't know what to do. You know, what? Here, you take the sticks. And so in the last, like, 3 years or so, I started playing drum set. And I'm having a blast. I mean, it's really fun to be able to express myself with that. But I'm going through that same learning curve of I really feel a groove, but I can't necessarily always make my body react the way I want it to, because you have to train, you have to practice moving your muscles in a specific way to make them react the way you want them to. And so I'm actually experiencing a lot of those things that you're talking about, like drummers trying to dance. But yeah, you see that a lot. It's funny. It's like in the drumming world, you have your professional kind of classically trained percussionists who generally they read what the page says, and they're really good at counting, and they're really good at listening, but they don't really groove in terms of they're not going to get together with friends and just kind of jam, usually. And then on the other hand, you have your, like, drum circle drummers, people who aren't really educated in music. They just play because it feels good. And so they're playing these grooves with each other, and they don't necessarily know what it is they're doing. They just feel what they're doing. But then there's a like, you have your percussionists who play really tight, and then your drum circle drummers who play loose and free and relaxed, but it's not necessarily, like, precise. And it's kind of rare to find somebody who bridges those two worlds. And that's something that I've tried to do. As a player who played mostly what was on the page, I really had this longing in me. I really wanted to try to jam, you know. And in fact, that's part of why I moved to Santa Fe, was to play in the marimba community and to be able to just kind of get off the page and just jam with people. And so as drummers, sometimes it's really hard for drummers to let go and just groove. And I think that that's something that that we might not take into consideration when we're talking about do we have a beat or not, because there's so many emotional and psychological things. It's not just how do you hear it, How do you feel it? How do you coordinate it? It's also, what do you believe that you can do? And you know, it goes so far beyond.
Angela Gabriel is the Education and Outreach Director for Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival. She's a percussionist, and for more information, you can just go to your computer and Google Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival. Lots of good things happening, including Friday morning at 10 o'clock at the St. Francis Auditorium. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.